Current state on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. Some mid-Michigan members of the Episcopal Church are disagreeing with each other over a recent resolution on guns. At a late October convention here in Lansing, the Episcopal Diocese of Michigan passed a resolution supporting stricter gun control. It includes calls for background checks on all gun sales and a ban on certain military-style semi-automatic weapons. A Detroit Free Press story referred to an intense debate, quote, with each side accusing each other of being extremists, according to participants, unquote. Joining us are two members of East Lansing's All Saints Episcopal Church. Kit Carlson is the pastor at All Saints and voted for the gun resolution last month. Dave Corey attends All Saints and voted against it. Welcome to Current State.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
I'll point out to our listeners that if the two people joining me are extremists, they are the most sensible, mildest extremists imaginable. Thank you for joining us. Several factors are in play here. First, the resolution calls for federal and state lawmakers to require and enforce universal background checks on all gun sales. It also calls for a clear ban on all future sales of military-style semi-automatic weapons, high-capacity ammunition magazines, and high-impact ammunition. Hardly the first time that these proposals have been put out there. Pastor Kit Carlson, tell us why you support these resolutions, please. First, the universal background checks.
The universal background checks, I think, is mostly to close up loopholes, to be sure that everyone who buys a gun should have a gun. I know there are some venues where people don't go through background checks in order to buy a gun. Personally, I feel that guns should be controlled in the same way that cars and motorcycles are, and that you should have to have training and a license that is renewed in regular increments. Now, I understand that totally goes against the Second Amendment, but I think guns are powerful and dangerous enough, like cars and motorcycles, that people who own and operate them should have some oversight.
And the ban on military-style weapons.
Yes, I voted for that because I think you can enjoy and use guns for many reasons without necessarily having to have semi-automatic capability to do that. I'm a gun owner myself, but the gun we own is a double-barreled shotgun. It's not a semi-automatic weapon.
What do you use? Why are you a gun owner?
There's a quarry up near our camp in the UP, and we go out there and throw clay targets and shoot at them.
Okay.
That's it.
Recreation.
Yeah.
Dave Corey, you have different views. First, how do you feel about expanding the background checks?
Well, I defined expanding the background checks. I don't know how it's done in other states, but if you buy a firearm in Michigan, you get background checked. If you go to a gun store today and you wanted to buy a firearm, if you're not a CPL holder, you're going to get background checked.
You alluded to loopholes, or
yes,
I mean, we've all heard of the gun show loophole, too.
The gun show, there's also a patchwork of laws across the country, and that's part of the issue with firearms. States and different governmental bodies have different laws in different areas about guns. And so, and the Supreme Court has done very little with cases about the Second Amendment, as opposed to the First Amendment, you know, where there's rather a robust train of Supreme Court decisions related to the First Amendment. Mm. There are only a few related to the Second Amendment. And so it's kind of, you know, they prefer to leave it up to the states. And so then there's a patchwork across the country of different laws.
But Dave, you'd maintain that virtually everybody who wants a gun would go through a background check.
Yeah. Anybody that goes to buy a firearm, whether you're buying a double barrel shotgun or you're buying a pistol to carry, you're going to go through a background check if you're not a CPL, if you don't possess a CPL. If you do possess a CPL, you've basically gone through the background check. It's pretty difficult to get a CPL. You have to take a class, you're background checked, and there's a lot of things that would preclude somebody from getting a CPL. You know, as far as Kit alluded to the gun show loophole, I've bought firearms at gun shows. And at least in Michigan, I can't speak for other states, but in Michigan, you get background checked at gun shows. I've been at gun shows where there has been a backup of people trying to buy firearms, and there was a delay because the people selling the firearms were behind in doing the background checks. So I can't speak for other states, but for Michigan, you're going to get background checked.
How do you feel about the ban on military-style weapons?
To me, it's when you go, I think that it's it flies in the face of the Second Amendment. I think we have to be really careful when we start banning certain firearms for whatever reason. There are
regulations in play, though. What would you say to somebody who says this simply expands on those regulations? It's not really a direct assault on the Second Amendment.
Well, and that was that you've kind of segued into my second point. There are already a lot of regulations regarding firearms and purchasing them and the kinds of firearms. And so I don't know if we need more because there are a lot of them out there already. It may be just enforcing what's already there. Hmm.
I see a middle ground, I think, like an awful lot of people, where we can alter these regulations have unfolded over a period of decades, if not centuries. There's no reason they couldn't continue to unfold and evolve.
And they will. They probably will evolve and unfold over time.
And it's a complicated conversation.
Oh, of course, yeah.
There's a wide range of opinion across the country and through the Episcopal Church, and I think the resolution in some sense limits the conversation that you could have about guns in this country and some of the issues of gun violence.
Does this debate concern you, Kit Carlson, about your church? I mean, is this a... Is how big an issue is this amongst your members?
About 18 months ago, shortly after Newtown, we had a gun violence Sabbath where we talked about the issues of gun violence in this country, many of which have nothing to do with mass murders like the Newtown shooting. It's 2/3 of gun deaths are from suicides. And we had a very fruitful and somewhat frustrating conversation. As a result of that, we gathered about 40 people, some of whom are law enforcement folks, legislators, members of the congregation, people on every end of the spectrum. But it was valuable because people got to hear that they were all in different places. It was frustrating because there was no clear consensus that we could suddenly go out and end gun violence. But we got to hear where everybody was in the room. And I think that's the kind of conversation that has to happen in churches and also in the country as a whole.
Dave Corey, the proposal passed. How big a deal is that for you?
That it passed?
Yeah.
It's not a big deal for me. When I first saw the proposal, I wondered why it was even there. And for me, Mark, it goes back to, why do I go to church? I don't go to church to be political or to get into, a lot of political discussions. And I know that goes through a lot of church. I go to church to be thankful, praise God, understand Christ, and learn and be educated more about Christ. So, the fact that it was there, I was kind of a little bit baffled on why this was there. And, when the proposal came up at the convention, I thought I might be one of the only ones to raise my hand to oppose it. But there were
you
more.
Had company. Okay.
I did have company. From our church, there are 3 delegates, and 2 of us voted against it. Hmm. But there were several people in the audience that voted against it. There were people that stood up and spoke for it. There were people that stood up and spoke against it.
What do you say, Kit Carlson, here? I know the Reverend Stephen Kelly, who had St. John's Episcopal in downtown Detroit, told the Free Press after the convention, he said, quote, "The people in my congregation don't want to hear a social gospel. They want to hear about grace and forgiveness and salvation so they can go out and do the right things. Rather, they have something new foisted upon them every week." What do you respond to that line of thinking?
I think you can't characterize any congregation, not my congregation and not Father Kelly's congregation, as being only interested in in a life of devout prayer or only interested in social justice. I think congregations contain a wide variety of people in them. There are people in my congregation who are passionate about social justice and spend hours working, particularly in Lansing, to try to make this a better community. And then there are people like Dave who want to come, hear a good sermon, receive the sacraments, and work on being a better Christian in their private life. Both of those can be encompassed in one congregation and even in one Christian person.
We are out of time, but this has been a great discussion. We want to thank Kit Carlson, pastor of All Saints Episcopal Church, East Lansing. Dave Curry also attends All Saints. They are on opposite sides of a recent church resolution calling for stricter gun controls. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.